James chapter 4. In just a few minutes, we will read some verses in James chapter 4. What I want to do tonight is kind of establish the spirit of humility based on a few weeks ago when I preached, and then this Wednesday night I'll be preaching, and I want to tie it together kind of really in a sense, it's almost a middle message to this, if we can say it that way, on the spirit-filled life versus the selfish life, and how God, how we can see those opposite, but yet how God can work in our hearts and our lives, despise our selfishness. And we started a few weeks ago with an opportunity. Actually, it started when the teens came home from camp. I just mentioned 1 Corinthians 10:31, and then we carried that message to a message on selfishness and how in our lives so easy. And we had, and we're not going to rehearse all that tonight, but we had some questions about selfishness to identify if we are selfish people. And we do so many times, so many things, what we do and what we say, it's because of the selfishness that is within us. And we established 1 Corinthians 10:31, no matter what I do, whether I eat or drink, we talk through that verse, no matter what I do, that I ought to do it to God's glory. And so when things do not go as we would plan in our life, either we can say, this is a discouragement, a disappointment, this does not work out my way, or we can look at it as, well, therefore I eat or drink or whatsoever we do, I do it to God's glory. God will get the glory in it, no matter what it is. You know that God can be glorified in our foolishness and our mistakes. I'm not saying that honors him. What I'm saying is God can take even the foolishness that we've talked about, the foolishness of preaching, and God can use. So God can use us the way we are, but it ought to be because we're giving God the glory. And so we talk through selfishness, the selfish spirit, what it is to be selfish, lacking concern, lacking consideration for others, living for ourselves. And we went through that, and we gave some remedies. I just want to repeat, go through those real quick, and then that'll lead us to our final remedy that I want to look at tonight, and that is our humility. And humility is not something that I get up in the morning and say, okay, I want to be humble. Humility is a lifestyle created within my soul, in your soul. Humility is something that God, through a period of time, through the working of the Holy Spirit, it comes out in us. We can't fake, we cannot fake humility. You cannot fake humility like you can fake being nice, because some of us, we can be nice to certain people. Well, we can fake that. Certain people are going to be nice to, certain people we're going to choose not to, which is a whole other message for a whole other time. That not ought to be the way anybody lives. But people do that. And humility is not something you can turn on and you can turn off. Humility is deep within your soul if you are a humble person. And there are examples that we have. There are examples in Scripture of humility. And there are examples, I believe, in front of me tonight of people that are humble. People that just serve, people that minister, people that know their place, people that don't need the applause, don't need the pat on the back, people that just humbly serve God and know their place and stay in the lane where God has them. That's what God wants out of us. That's how we can work together in the community of Jesus Christ. So we mentioned real quick, and then we're going to pick up with humility tonight. We mentioned, realize how I can compare or how I do compare with the mighty and the holy God. Realize that the opposite of selfishness is commanded in Scripture. We looked at illustrations of Scripture on how I am not to be a selfish person. We looked at the example of lives in the Bible, the Word of God, of course, Jesus Christ. We talked about Moses not willing or wanting to suffer the affliction, or choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the Jewish people, with the Israelites, then enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And then we looked at the example of those that could not just deny themselves. We looked at the rich young ruler, and he could not get past himself. He could not get past his own, his wealth and his own earning in his mind of salvation. And then we have to realize that we are not our own, for we're bought with a price. So what are we to do? Glorify God in our body. And our spirit, which are God's. Then we need to realize and confess that we are selfish individuals. And then we realize that humility is what God wants out of each and every one of us. And how he wants us to play that out in our lives. So tonight, let's look how God wants us to, if you will, say it this way, play out humility in our lives. How can we be humble before God? How can we increase our humility? What is this remedy for being selfish? Well, the remedy is being humble before mighty hand, before the mighty hand of God. James chapter 4. Let's just start with chapter 4, verse 1, and then verse 6. And I want to read verse 7 and some following verses. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your own lusts, that war in your members? So the question, where's the friction? Where's the battle? Whether inside of a person or where's the battle within a ministry, within a church? There's warrings, there's factions, and there's times in the church where there has been, and when I say church, the Church of Christ, there has been factions, there's been fightings, there's been turmoil. Well, why does that happen? Why is there bitter spirits? Why are there hurts? Because of our flesh, because of the selfishness that's in mankind. Well, how do we remedy that? How do we get past that? Look at verse 6. But he giveth more grace. We read this verse this morning in church. He giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto, say with me, unto the what? Humble. Give us grace to the humble. Submit. Look at the pattern. We're not going to preach to this tonight, but look at the pattern. Pattern of humility we see there in verse number 7 is to first of all do what? Submit. If you want to truly excuse self and bring on humility, what do we have to do? We have to submit. That word submit or submission means to place ourselves under. Very few people want to be placed under. What do we want? We want to be on top. We want to be on the top step. In true humility, look at the mind of Christ, Pastor, this morning in Philippians chapter 2. The mind of Christ. What was his mind of? He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So submit yourselves, therefore, to God. What's the second point? Resist the devil. Could the humility flow? Submit, resist. And then it says, look at verse 8. Now this is our relationship to Christ. Draw nigh to God. And what is he going to do? He's going to draw nigh to you. See, part of humility is, of course, submitting, resisting, and then it's drawing nigh to God. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. And then look at verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Our human flesh goes to the second part of that verse, the latter part of that verse, because we like that. And he shall what? Lift you up. A lot of times that's where our thought process goes. Why? Because we want to be lifted up. But how does that take place? And by the way, it is God that does the lifting, not mankind. There are a whole lot of people, they want to do the lifting up themselves. They want to make themselves the point of the story. They want to interrupt and interject their opinion. But what takes place? Humility in verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. That's what Pastor preached this morning. All these external, all these things, don't worry about those, because God's going to take care of. God's got this all worked out and planned out in your life. So what's my role? To be humble. To have a right spirit. To know when it is time for me to talk. To know when it is time for me to put myself underneath, to submit, to surrender. See, those aren't very popular words in our lives. So we are to humble ourselves. To define that word humble means to depress. And when we say to depress, we don't mean like we're having depression or going through depression. Depression, it means to be depressed, to push down. So to depress ourselves, to put ourselves in its proper place, to humiliate. And that is in the condition of our heart, not in a false humility, You ever know somebody that talks false humility, talks down on themselves, talks poor mouths so you feel bad for them? That's not what he's talking about here. Condition of heart, abase or to bring low. That is a willful act. I willfully submit. God, you are in charge. You're in control of my life. God, I give it to you. That's the point tonight that we're just going to simply try to share. We're going to look at some verses from Proverbs. Increase my humility, Lord. 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So again, bring ourselves under. 2 Chronicles 7:14, a verse that many of you know. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Shall humble themselves. The definition of that means to bend the knee, to humiliate, to bring yourself lower than. See, that is not natural. That is not natural. That's why we want to interject ourselves in a story. We want to make ourselves the hero of the story. Why is that? Because it's not natural to our sin nature to bring ourselves under subjection or humble or to subdue, as it suggests there. It's not natural because of our natural instinct, propensity to pride, to put ourselves higher than we really are. Of course, we talk quite a bit of time about how that's what Satan did. I will be like the Most High God. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. On and on with how he would usurp God's authority. So real quick tonight, we're just going to look at a few thoughts from Proverbs. So if you would, let's go and turn to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, we're just going to look at a few verses. And the first three that I want to look at tonight are Proverbs chapter 30. And we won't turn to everything tonight that we look at, but at least if we would go to Proverbs chapter 30. And I know we don't have a PowerPoint, but we can listen and we can learn. I think we can allow the Word of God to soak into our thought process tonight. First of all, number one, humility is seeing God and myself for who both really are. I must, first of all, see a mighty and a holy God for who he is, but I also must see myself for who I am. We can gain pretty high opinions of ourselves. The New Testament talks about the mirror. Remember the mirror that we're to look in to see where we're really at spiritually? And what we see in that mirror is really what we are. And getting a true perspective of who you are. And we try to help our children with that, don't we? Well, Daddy, I'm the only one in the class that got an A. Well, son, you're homeschooled. You're the only one in your class. Well, you know, you try to, it's perspective. No offense to homeschooling at all. But it's perspective. Dad, I'm the only one on my team that, well, honey, son, your team has five people on it. See, what we do is we get a big picture of ourselves, sometimes maybe bigger than it really is. God's wisdom and power versus my true unimportance and my true ignorance in my life. Let's look at what is said in Proverbs chapter 30. And let's look at verse numbers 2 through 4. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 2 through 4. Surely I am more brutish than any man and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy. This is Proverbs written by Solomon, who hath ascended up into heaven or descended. I don't have the knowledge of the holy because he has, verse 4, he has ascended up into heaven or descended, who hath gathered the wind in his fist, who hath bound the waters in a garment, who hath established all the ends of the earth. What is his name and what is the son's name? If thou canst tell. Solomon's saying here, God, compared to you, I am nothing. God, your wisdom and your power is nothing compared to my ignorance and my unimportance. I am not important. God, I must see you as you really are. And for you and I to truly walk humbly before God is to see ourselves for who we really are. And to compare ourselves to a mighty and a holy God. So God's wisdom and his power versus my ignorance and my unimportance. Humility is seeing God and self as they really are. And then look at verse 5 and verse 6 of the same chapter, chapter 30. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. And thou unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. So letter A, God's wisdom and power versus my ignorance, my unimportance. And letter B, God's perfection, God's authority in comparison to my imperfection and my loneliness. God, who is perfect, who is righteous, who is holy, who is the authority on everything. And my responsibility to that is to recognize God is the authority in my life. I am not the authority in my life. And then we see, thirdly, understanding God and his ourselves for who they really are. God's faithfulness and provision. We're going to look at verse 7 and 9. God's faithfulness and his provision in contrast to my unfaithfulness and my dependence. See, God is faithful, and I am unfaithful. I can trust God in his authority, and I must be dependent on what he provides. See, everything we have comes from God. That's pretty great. We have a lot. If you've been to a foreign country, you know you have a lot. I was talking to somebody the other night, one of our men, who was in a foreign country recently. And he was just explaining and expressing to me how he was trying to explain to his child what we have in our country. We have a lot. Where does that come from? My 40 hours a week? No. It comes from God. Where does that come from? I deserve it? No. It comes from the grace and the mercy of God and my humility. I accept that for what God brings and gives me in my life. In the time I think that what I have is solely mine, that's when God awakens us and says, what you have comes from me. God gives. We know the Lord gives and the Lord what? Takes away. Never lose sight of that. I struggle with the phrase self-made. He's a self-made man. I struggle with that. Because anything we have, and listen, if somebody is self-made, they will also very easily be self-destroyed. And so I must not be made by myself. I must recognize that it all comes from God. Look at verse 7 and 9. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them, not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Solomon realizes that he must see God, who he is, as faithful and the provider, and that he is dependent on God and that he is unfaithful. Wealthy, Solomon? Absolutely, yes. Wise? Yep. In recognizing that everything he had came from God. Mistakes? Full of. And much of what he's even preaching and teaching here, he was guilty of, and he had lived it. And he saw the vanity of it. So humility is seeing God and self as we both really are. Before we go to the next point, really, truly tonight, all of us, if we'd get a perspective of who we really are. So some of our young people, when they go off to college, they get in a large college campus atmosphere, and so many times they come back and they say, I'm nobody. And you know what? That's not always a bad thing. It gives them a proper perspective of who they are. And they have to make their way with God's help, and God puts them in a position. There's some of us, God puts us in positions where all we can do and recognize that we cannot do it without God's help, and we cannot do this without God's strength. It may be a medical need, physical need that you have even tonight, and there's no way you can heal yourself. It's only through God. And God has given many in this room endurance to go through those things. And you have been humbled before your God, knowing that the only way that you're going to have the strength is through the mighty hand of God. God, help us to recognize who we truly are. Number two, we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. Humility is part of fearing the Lord. So our humility is seeing God and self as both really are. And then we're going to see in Proverbs 3, verse 7, humility is part of fearing the Lord. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Be not wise. Don't think yourself, previous point, something that you are not. Don't think that your wisdom and your knowledge and your ability comes from you. It comes from God. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Fear God. Trust Him, recognize Him, awe Him, and depart from evil. We can slowly get the point of, you know, I am not my own. But now it's recognizing evil. It's saying, you know what, I should not have any part of that. So humility is part of fearing God. God in my life, recognizing God as the supreme authority and leader of my life, that keeps us humble. So when things go well, it's God's. When things don't go so well in my life, it's God's. And I am to trust Him with all my heart. I am not to lean, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, I'm not to lean on what? My own understanding. Are there things that don't make sense to you sometimes? A lot of times. I'm not trusting the Lord with my heart. I'm not to lean on my own understanding, but what do? All my ways, acknowledge Him. And what does He promise to do? He's going to guide us. He's going to lead us. He's going to direct our paths. So I fear God. And fear is not a negative. It's a trust and an awe of who God is. God, I stand in awe of the choices and the decisions that You have for me in my life. That brings us to number three. So humility is seeing God and myself as they both really are. Humility is part of fearing the Lord. Number three, humility includes wisdom. It's part of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 2. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. That's why God chose men of God, that others would look at them and say, they are low. I had a man once, he's a businessman here in Claremont, and went in, he was doing some work for me, and somehow in conversation, told him I was a preacher, and he just started going off about the disciples and lowly fishermen, and I mean, this guy was, you ever get blindsided? You ever just try to kindly be nice to people and all of a sudden they are loaded up? And he just took my breath away. I was one of those, like, I couldn't even respond. Because he just, man, he was ready. And that doesn't make sense. Why would God use a fisherman? Why would God? And he basically denying that there was a Christ that even walked the planet and that He would have these fishermen, these disciples. Went on and on. But why not? Why not choose the lesser sort? Why not choose the base? Because we have examples of the Bible of those that thought they had already arrived spiritually and God could not use them. But it's the lowly, it's the meek, it's the humble, it's the shepherd on the backside of the desert. It's the shepherd boy being obedient to his dad, taking food to his brothers. That's who God uses. God uses the humble. God uses those that their name never gets in the bulletin. That's who God uses. God uses those that are tucked away in a corner serving. It doesn't mean they're unknown, but my point is, God wants to use you. God wants to use me, but I must have the right spirit when it comes to knowing who God is and knowing that anything I have comes from Him. So humility is part of that wisdom. But with the lowly is wisdom. Number four, humility is more rewarding in my life than pride. Because pride is self-added or self, if I can say it, inflicted. And humility is God-brought. So if I do something in pride, and I stumble, I fall, I mess up, that's when I respond. You ever mess up and you get upset at yourself because you did something really stupid? Ever do that? Because we do so much in our own pride. We do it in our own strength. There's times we do things and they happen. I mean, do you ever get the drops where you just drop everything one day? It's just, you're just, everything you're doing, you're hauling in the groceries, the bag bursts. And it's either you get upset or you realize it's the bag. It's not you. But we get frustrated with things that really don't matter. Why? Because we do things in our own strength. Maybe you're singing and you miss a note. I want you to know I heard that. Oh, I wouldn't know if you missed a note. If you sing to God's glory, then sing to God's glory. You make a mistake. And God has a way of humbling us, doesn't He? Has a way to keep us that way. Proverbs 16:9, better is it to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Proverbs 20, verse 6 and 7, put not forth thyself in the presence of the king and stand not in the place of great men. In other words, don't set yourself up for glory and honor. For better is it to be said unto thee, come up hither, than that thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen. Again, back to our perspective of who we truly and who we really are. Humility is more rewarding in our lives than doing it ourselves and living for our own pride. That brings us to point number five. Humility leads, this is great, Proverbs 15, it leads to honor. Humility leads to honoring our God. Because when we do it for God's glory, He alone is going to receive the honor and the praise and the glory. And back to our verse that we used at the very, very beginning. If God desires, we are to humble ourselves in His sight, and He will what? Lift us up. Humility leads to honor. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Proverbs 18:12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. So we have the two choices. We have a haughty spirit or a humble spirit. Arrogance, conceit, pride. There are people that just exude those things. Or do you exude God getting the honor? I know we have all around us world-class athletes. They are fun to watch. But many of them lack humility. And we're not shocked. They're of the world. We get it. But what is difficult is to help our young people to realize we don't live for the glory of self. We don't live for the honor. I'm for getting excited. I'm for cheering at a touchdown. I'm for applauding. I'm for jumping up and down. I'm for yelling at the TV. My wife is not. in a positive way, cheering, not at the referees. But there's nothing wrong with excitement. But what happens is we've seen it, haven't we? Where the seriousness of the moment, the anger that is produced, all from a heart of pride, from a part, I have to succeed at any cost. And so we try to help and teach, don't we, in the home, our young people, yes, you do your best. Yes, you play your hardest. Yes, you, but if you have an ability, God gave you that ability. That came from God. And so that's why when something goes well in our lives, we give God the glory. Humility leads to honor. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. See, in my self-pride, what's going to happen? I'm going to be made low because I will mess up. In my flesh, it's going to happen. The mistakes are going to come. And by the way, even walking in the Spirit, mistakes are going to come. But when they come in the Spirit, the Lord uses that, even despite us. And God can still get the glory when we even say something that we shouldn't, we don't mean. And God can still work those things out. And there's little things that come along. If we were to talk tonight about your most embarrassing moment and the humility that came because of it, we could have a lot of fun tonight because we all have humbling moments. We all have very embarrassing moments. Because I'm full of pride, I will not tell you one of mine. Sometime in private, I'll tell you my most embarrassing moment. It was something else. Do you know what? That's how God keeps us right. He humbles us. Can I say sometimes we humble ourselves? Because we're foolish. So humility leads to honor. And then number six, last tonight, humility is blessed by God. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34. If you have your Bibles, open still to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth, there it is again, grace unto the lowly. God is gracious. God is gracious to those that are humble, that are lowly. Proverbs 22:4, but by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. In other words, the rewards of humility. I'm just talking about riches, it's not talking about wealth, but the riches of this life. Riches and honor and life. Your breath you have, understand that it comes from God. Let that humble you. We talked about some of the things we do, the mistakes we make. We let those humble us. But let the fact that God allows us a relationship with Him to humble us. We do not deserve that relationship. We do not deserve everlasting life. Because your righteousness and my righteousness is our what? As filthy rags. And so verses like that help keep us humble. And then we read in Philippians chapter 2 how lowly Jesus was to take the form of human flesh. And doesn't that blow us away because we're thinking, what's so bad about being a human? What's so bad about walking this planet? Well, compared to holiness, compared to righteousness, compared to the realm of heaven, compared to God, omniscient, omnipotent, on and on, love, mercy, grace, holiness, our comparison, we are nothing. And so when we read the verses of Philippians, we think, what is so lowly about Jesus taking the form of a babe, coming to a manger, and then walking this planet, ministering to humans, and then dying on a cross. The humility just in that context ought to make us very, very thankful that we have a God of mercy and a God of grace and a God that loves us. But somewhere in there, we think, God did us a favor. And he deserves us. He does do us a favor. But he doesn't do it because I deserve it. He does it because he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And I'm so glad, aren't you, that he did? That he humbled himself. So, if I am going to live in humility, I must live in the mind of Jesus Christ. I must use Jesus Christ as my example of humility. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery. What did he do? He made himself of no reputation. Took upon him the form of a servant. Made in the likeness of man. What did he do? He humbled himself. He became obedient. That right there is a pattern for you and I to be humble. To live humbly before our God. Recognize that we are not to be of our own reputation. Take ourselves in the form of a servant. Humble ourselves and become obedient. Those are four steps this week that would change your life and change my life. If I live humility out like Jesus did. God help us to do that. God help us to have a humble spirit, a humble response to people. You're at your workplace, your humility matters. Can I say opposite? So does your arrogance. Your arrogance can be seen. But our humility God can use if we humble ourselves to him. I trust this week that we'll do that. We'll have a humble heart and a humble spirit. And that our pride will be put in its proper place. And our lifting of ourselves, our selfishness gets put in its proper place. God help us to be humble tonight. Let's pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed.